What are the implications for conversion? What is required of those who repent and convert to Christianity? The Bible definitely has a lot to say about this. In reading Colossians 3, we will discover that those who have been raised with Christ are required to seek the heavenly by setting our heart and mind on things above. We're also admonished that there are some sensual sins and some social sins that we must get rid of or put to death or put off as God's set apart people in the world. Today, let's turn our attention to Colossians 3, verses 12 through to 14. The Word of God says, quote, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." End quote. In these verses, God makes it clear that there are some things as Christians that we should, quote, put off, or some things with which we should clothe ourselves if we are to grow in Christ and properly reflect the character of Christ as His people. When you look closely at these verses, you will discover that there are 8 virtues listed, and we are to put on these as one would go to his closet and take down a piece of clothing to put on. The first 2 virtues describe how we are to treat others. 2 depict the state of mind we are to possess. 3 virtues relate to how we should act when we're mistreated. And then the crowning virtue of love is mentioned. Let's take these in turn. God says we are to clothe ourselves with the virtue of tender mercies, which literally means, quote, "bowels in which compassion resides," end quote. Or as we might say today, a heart full of compassion. To show compassion is to have mercy, to feel sympathy, and to have pity for others. The Bible is clear that compassion is an attitude of God and of God's people as well. John rightly asks in 1 John 3:17, "If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him?" In a world filled with suffering and transactional relationships, many opportunities to demonstrate compassion in how we treat others are all around us. Look around you. Do you know someone who is hurting that you can show compassion today or this week? In addition to clothing ourselves with compassion, followers of Jesus are to clothe themselves with kindness in the way they treat others. Didn't David ask in 2 Samuel 9:1, "Is there anyone still alive from the household of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" What follows is a beautiful illustration of how kindness and compassion transformed the life of Mephibosheth, who was lame in both feet. Friends, your acts of tender mercies, of kindness, can transform the life of others. Your kindness is important because there's a lot of unkindness in the world today, and people need to experience real kindness, not just in church. In addition to compassion and kindness, God says that we're to clothe ourselves with humility and meekness, which are 2 virtues that depict the state of mind we are to possess. Humility literally means, quote, "lowliness of mind." Humility is a heart attitude, not merely an outward demeanor. For a person may put on an outward demeanor to show humility, but in their heart, they're really still full of pride and arrogance. Humility is often characterized as a genuine gratitude, a lack of arrogance, and a modest view of oneself in relation to God and others. When Christ came for sinners, he came in humility, that you and I might humbly repent and return to God. A Christian clothed in humility will always stand in stark contrast to those clothed in pride and arrogance. Remember this. It's always better to humble ourselves before God than to have God humble us. The Bible says here in Colossians 3 that we are to clothe ourselves with meekness, which is power under control. In our age, where self-assertiveness is prized, and where people regularly push their way to popularity and misuse power, Jesus calls us to demonstrate meekness. Jesus is our example of meekness. For while he was on the cross, they told him to come down from the cross if he was God. And he remained on the cross, though he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He chose to show us meekness, which is power under control. My friends, when you're clothed with meekness, you will always use whatever power you have to help people, not hinder them. Among the list of 8 virtues with which we are to clothe ourselves are 3 virtues that relate to how we should act when we are mistreated. The Bible says here in Colossians 3:13 that we should clothe ourselves with long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. By the way, notice that all 3 virtues are in the present continuous tense. We are to show long-suffering, which means that we are to show patience, forbearance, and slowness in avenging wrongs. If when someone hurt you, even in church, and you are quick to get your pound of flesh, you really need to be clothed with long-suffering. My friends, God calls us to be bearing with one another. This literally means to endure. We all have issues, and we all need to be patient with each other and bear with one another. This was part of what Paul means when he said that we must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When we are wronged by others, God expects us to be forgiving one another as God forgave us in Christ Jesus. Forgiving others is never easy because the hurt can run very deep for very long. But it is God who gives us the grace to forgive and the strength to forgive others. You see, when you forgive, you won't necessarily have amnesia and forget about it. However, when you really and truly forgive, you will forget in the sense that when you remember the wrong done to you, it will not be accompanied by the hurt you felt when you were wronged. You can forgive early and then work through the issues of hurt, because unforgiveness does more to the vessel it is stored in than the person on whom it is poured. We do well to remember the late Bishop Desmond Tutu's book titled, quote, "No Future Without Forgiveness," end quote. My friends, forgiving others is demanded because we have been forgiven by Christ. And so Paul adds, "And to all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Friends, people will know that we are Christians by our love. And 1 Corinthians 13 verses 5 through to 7 is the Bible's fullest description of love. This is the believer's pattern of love with which we should be clothed. Friends, Jesus came to earth to die for our sins. He has called on us and is calling on us today to repent and believe the gospel. When you do, we must live lives that are different in the world, because we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And these are virtues that we must display in our lives. Imagine the difference when we live like this, the difference in our families, the difference in our schools, in our places of work across this nation and across the world. Friends, God is depending on you and I to come to a place where we have a true conversion experience and help others to live as true followers of Christ. Will you live like that? Amen.